Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And so pleased to be joined on the hotline by the Post-Gazette's Ray Fittipaldo. Good morning to you, Ray. How's everything?
Good morning. I'm well, guys. How are you?
We're good. No off season for Ray, right, Chris?
Never.
No off season. He works hard.
No days off.
Right. He humps it 365 days a year. Okay, Ray. So, do you have any insight as to who exactly the Pittsburgh Steelers could be scouting? Where they could be going? Is it clearly best available on the board when they draft, or what direction are they headed in?
I think it's best available at a number of positions. I mean, I think running back, offensive line, tight end, even a receiver at that point, because it's such a good year for receivers. But you make a good point, Colin. When you're drafting in the middle of the second round where they are, you have to take the best available player that's on your board, but, you know, within reason. So, I outlined a few of the positions there. I'd be surprised if they went a different direction than you know, those four that I mentioned. But, we'll see what happens. They got to get through free agency first. They might address one or two of those in free agency. And then, you know, I think we'll have a better idea in the middle of March about, you know, exactly what direction they're going to go.
How do they go about remaking the offensive line, Ray? Because you've outlined a couple different scenarios and stuff you've written since the season ended that include the possible release of Ramon Foster and Filer moving over, and Finney's a free agent, so there's a chance he gets paid somewhere, and then you got to talk about Banner and Okorafor at right tackle, maybe. Would they start looking at that as spending draft capital on the continued transition and remaking of the offensive line as a part of that, or is it just rearranging what they have this offseason?
I think even if they do go the rearranging route, guys, I do think they have to start spending some draft capital on offensive linemen this year, just because they're going to have to start replacing those guys. I think you're probably right. They are probably going to release Ramon here in a couple of weeks. And, this is the final season of Al Villanueva's contract. And, four of those starters are age 30 or older. So even if they are going to sort of move some guys around and shuffle some reserves up to starting jobs, you got to start developing those future starters and those backups too. So I kind of like the position that they're in. This is a really strong draft for tackles. So if they like a tackle in the middle of the second round, they think they could plug in as a starter, that would be a natural way to go. They could actually plug that guy in and then shift Filer to guard. But, you know, if they want to pick up a guy at the end of the third round with that comp pick or with one of their two fourth-round picks, let's say a guard, because these guards aren't as highly regarded as the tackles, then maybe you can groom that guy, behind some of the guys that are there now, and you could actually, put a core for a Banner at tackle and then move Filer to guard as well. So it's looking like Filer's probably going to move to guard, but that's a tough decision for them. When you have a guy who's playing as well as he is at tackle, I don't think there's a desire to move him. I just think the way the roster is set up, they sort of have an abundance of tackles, so that's the reason I'm thinking that Filer might be on the move.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. About this quarterback coaching job, I heard over this past weekend that the Steelers are going to potentially talk to Matt Canada about this. Is true?
That's the first that I've heard of it. I know Matt had a lot of success when he was here at Pitt, and obviously got to know, the people on the other side of that building. So he was most recently at Maryland. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And someone's son plays at Maryland.
Yeah, correct. So, yeah, I give you credit if that turns out to be true. But I think we all know that there might be a need there, guys, not only for the young quarterback. I just think maybe just some new ideas overall on how to maybe juice up that run game, maybe how to get the most out of your personnel, maybe maybe a new voice from the college game, a guy who's had success, you know, maybe that would work. So that's a good idea. If they pursue that, I think that might be a good hire, but that's actually the first that I've heard of it.
What's the game plan in the backfield, Ray? We talked about this a little bit last week, and it's been a source of conversation since the season ended, and really throughout the season, too, because of James Conner's propensity to be injured. I know you mentioned the wealth of wide receivers in the draft, so maybe that makes sense in the second round. But aside from the draft, does it make sense to take a flyer on somebody in free agency, a veteran possibly, to bring in and compete with Connor, Snell, and whoever else may be a part of the fold?
I'd rather get a young guy in the draft. I know they had some success with D'Angelo Williams, you know, for a couple of years there, and he sort of settled some things down when Le'Veon was hurt in 2015. I just want the young guy. I just think they're in a position now, given Connor's history, that they need some young legs in that backfield. And I'd be surprised if they went the free agent route at running back, just because, like receiver, this is a very good class for running backs. You know, Etienne's in there. Jonathan Taylor's in there. DeAndre Swift out of Georgia's there. We're still waiting on Najee Harris out of Alabama. That's a guy I really like. I mean, he's not Derrick Henry, but he is 6'3". He's like 210. He's that bigger type of a back. If you did sort of want to rebuild your offense, or I shouldn't say rebuild, if you want to retool your offense, maybe get a bigger back in there, you know, he'd be certainly someone who would be attractive to them. So it's a really good class, and I think, you know, with the depth there at running back, I do think it's very much in play in the middle of the second round.
Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Okay, I'm going to play your editor and give you an assignment right now. I'm going to tell you what Pittsburgh wants to read. Kevin Stefanski gets hired in Cleveland, right, Ray? So
Yes. You
tell me what you know, and then I'm going to give you your assignment. Tell me what you know about the Steelers and how deeply they dive into analytics, and then your assignment is to go in there and do a story on how deeply they dive into analytics. Is there something there that people would want to know about in Pittsburgh that consume the Steelers?
I actually did that story 3 or 4 years ago up in Latrobe during training camp, and I sort of went in with the idea that the Steelers aren't that big on analytics. But and I sat down with Kevin Colbert, and he really explained to me that the Steelers have been doing analytics for years. They just don't really talk about it in sort of the newfangled terms that people do now. Like the Steelers for years, their scouts, their personnel people do studies, and it's very similar to what you know, is being done now. They just don't really look at it in the terms that sort of the new NFL does. So it's been around for a long time with the Steelers. They're into it. They have a guy who specializes in it on their staff. I don't want to say they buy into it like the Browns, because I think that would be a false statement, but it is very much a part of what they do. It's infused in their game planning. They use it, but to what degree, I don't know. If I had to guess, I'd say it's probably somewhere in the middle of how teams use it in the NFL. But they are very much involved with the analytics movement, and you know, it's something that they use not only in their drafting, but you know, they use it during the season as well.
Ray, what'd you make of Lamar Jackson's performance? I mean, yeah, he had to throw the ball 59 times against Tennessee because they were behind from the very beginning, but that also struck me that they looked like, and he in particular looked like, they weren't ready to play from behind. Is that a one-game blip, or do you look at the Ravens now and have questions about them going forward?
Well, it's probably a one-game blip when you look at the totality of his 2019 season. But, guys, you saw it as readily as I did. He was flustered after that first interception. He went over there, committed that penalty out of bounds, which is totally unnecessary. I just thought he lost his composure, and he lost it very early on. So if I'm able to see that on TV, and I know everyone else did, it is so puzzling why Greg Roman went to the pass 59 times in that game. If you want to settle that guy down, you give him a comfort level, you have him run the read option or hand the ball off if you see he's struggling. So yeah, Lamar struggled, but I think Greg Roman and that offensive staff they really did that kid a disservice. I thought there were ways to maybe settle him down in that game, and they really never got him back to a comfort level. So I blame that one on the Baltimore coaches, as much as I do on Lamar Jackson's performance.
All right, last thing before we let you go. How's that noted Yankee fan Paul Fittipaldo, your son, taken to the fact that his team got done in by a bunch of cheaters a couple times?
He's letting all his friends who follow the Astros at school, he's letting them know it. And he's actually he's going to spring training in Florida in the middle of March. So he'll get his Yankees next year in another 6 weeks or so.
He's going to Tampa?
He's going to Tampa. They're going to travel around. My father-in-law is taking him. My wife is going. I'm staying back in Pittsburgh. So that's their little spring break trip for 2020.
Wow, we might see him.
Yeah,
we
tell
might,
them to say hello if they
Paul
come to
Fittipaldo.
Yeah,
there Brayton. You go. Hopefully the time syncs up. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Better him than seeing you. Thank you, Ray. I'm kidding. Thank you, Ray, for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Ray.
All right. There's Ray. Really great stuff from Ray. We thank him a lot. And maybe Paul Fittipaldo and his guys can go to the Giant Eagle Kittapalooza Family Festival.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.